This episode is brought to you by Dietz and Watson.
Molly, it's time we have the talk about hot dogs.
Okay. Well, hey, I'm looking for a hot dog that's the real deal, Matthew.
Like a classic hot dog that, like, when you think of, like, the platonic ideal of a hot dog, I recommend Dietz and Watson's Dietz dogs.
Ah, well, I've heard that they're handcrafted and made using only Dietz and Watson premium meat.
I can vouch for this because Dietz and Watson sent us a big box of hot dogs and other delights, and wife of the show, Lori, and I had them for dinner last night. We had the classic beef Dietz dogs with toasted buns with sauerkraut and pickled jalapenos and Dietz and Watson ballpark-style yellow mustard.
Do you think you'd recommend Dietz and Watson hot dogs for fried rice?
Oh, yeah. Fried rice with some sliced hot dogs. I'm going to be doing that soon. Wife of the show, Lori, is going to be making the hot dog flour buns from Christina Cho's cookbook, Mooncakes and Milk Bread. Very excited for this.
And I'm especially pleased because Dietz and Watson does things the right way. So this means, like, no additives, no fillers, no artificial flavors, no cutting corners. You can feel good about this stuff.
Dietz and Watson. It's a family thing since 1939.
Shop now at dietzandwatson.com/the right way.
That's Dietz, D-I-E-T-Z, and watson.com/the right way. This episode is brought to you by Squarespace.
Squarespace makes it easier than ever to launch your passion project, whether you're showcasing your work, selling products, whatevs.
Yeah, it's so easy. You could probably go to squarespace.com/build and accidentally make an awesome website.
And when you're ready to launch that accidental website, use the offer code SPILLED to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain.
I'm Matthew.
And I'm Molly.
And this is Spilled Milk, the show where we cook something delicious, eat it all, and you can't have any.
Today, we are talking about that classic sandwich, the BLT.
What's that?
So, okay, just for anyone who has perhaps been living under, I don't know, under a boulder.
Several strips of crispy bacon.
Yeah. So the BLT sandwich
is boulder, lettuce, and tomato.
It's bacon, lettuce, and tomato. And I feel kind of sad that, like, bread, which is the fourth ingredient, a fourth necessary ingredient in a BLT, unless you're, like, paleo.
Sure. Then it's more lettuce. M-M-L-L. I don't know.
Anyway, I feel really sad that the B for bread doesn't get, an initial. It should be, like, B-B-L-T.
B-B-L-T-B.
Baby-L-T.
Yeah.
You know, when people are, like, hanging out with my BBs.
Yes.
Yeah.
I have heard that. I've definitely never said it myself.
Hey, how do you feel about bae? Like, hanging with my bae.
I like it. I feel like I'm kind of not equipped to say it.
Yeah, I feel like I aged out of
exactly.
it.
Exactly. Like, I'm just out of the bae range.
Yeah, I'm not supposed to do that anymore.
I'm not in Generation Bae.
I also just, the cranky old lady part of me is like, listen, you don't even, there's not even like a second syllable that you're avoiding by just saying bae. Babe is still one syllable.
Oh, but when you said that, I was like, isn't it short for baby? But no, you're right. It's babe.
Isn't it short for babe?
It seems like it.
I think.
I thought what you were going to get pedantic about was a bae is a body of water.
No, no. Like sometimes, you know, sometimes I just can't be bothered to say the whole word. Like, like when I'm like making dumplings, I'm like, I'm making some dumps.
Yes.
Because it is too difficult sometimes.
Guess what, family? I'm making some dumps. Everyone, get over here.
Anyway, no, but sometimes I just can't be bothered to say dumpling, right?
Oh, I totally
understand.
Two
syllables. It's too difficult. Dumps.
Yeah.
So really, but bae and babe, same number of syllables. Just finish the word.
So here's the one that I came up with that drives my family crazy.
Okay.
I probably said it on the shows. And instead of my pleasure, I'd like to say my pledge.
Ash likes to say my pledge, my Liz.
Nice.
Right?
I thought I invented this and no one else says it, but I guess not.
Yeah. Yeah.
Fine.
Anyway, okay. So, but yeah, we're talking about BLTs today or BBLTs.
Mm-hmm.
Also, I feel bad.
Every time you say BBLT, I think you're going to say BBW.
What's BBW?
It's a big, beautiful woman.
Oh, I didn't know that.
There you go.
Wow. Okay. Anyway, I should also add that I learned that these initials, BLT, mm-hmm. probably began as restaurant shorthand, you know, like from a server to a cook. Like, oh. I'll take, you know, I need two BLTs on table
86
three.
86 the BLT.
Yeah, 86 BLTs.
That is now all the restaurant lingo that I know.
Right. I've got three BLTs all night. All day? I always messed that up when I was working in a restaurant. Three BLTs all day.
I think it's all day.
Yeah. And I was always like, it's not day anymore, guys. It's like 8 p.m.
When you, at some point, did you read like a list of diner slang, like that cooks allegedly and servers allegedly
no.
call, like I can't think of any of now, like a shingle with a smear is like toast with butter, or I think.
Let's just say toast with butter.
I know. Like, I don't believe any of these things are real. If you've worked in a like an old-fashioned diner and you know of any diner slang and you can like attest
please,
whether
let us
any
know.
Diner slang was used there, please, spilledmilkpodcast.com. Let us know.
Okay. Anyway, so here, Matthew.
That's me.
Can I Wikipedia on you a little bit?
I wish you would.
Okay. So
I've been waiting so long for you to say that.
So here's the deal. I learned that, so you know club sandwiches?
I do, although to be honest, I had to have a club sandwich explained to me yesterday by wife of the show, Lori.
I had to look up club sandwiches mm-hmm. because I kept reading that the BLT was like a descendant of the club sandwich.
Oh.
And I was like, wait a minute, like what's like, how are they related? Well, so apparently the club sandwich was invented a little bit before the BLT. Like there were club sandwiches around in like the late 1800s. Mm-hmm. Okay.
And a
club,
maybe at the country club.
Maybe. And a club sandwich.
Do you think it was invented by Arnold Palmer? Hey, bae.
Hey, bae. Anyway, nice one. I see what you did
Thanks.
There. Anyway, so a club sandwich for the uninitiated, mm-hmm. or Matthew,
oh.
is...
I feel like I'm about to be initiated.
So one layer of it is a BLT.
Uh-huh.
And then there's like another sandwich stacked on top,
yep.
right? Which is basically a BLT with turkey, sliced turkey or chicken. Is that right?
I think that's right. Yeah, like... The discussion Lori and I were having was like whether the layers of the club sandwich are like two of the same thing or two different things. And I don't know anything about this at all.
I think we're still unclear on
yeah,
this,
okay,
really.
So,
but anyway, one layer of the BLT.
If you worked at a diner, what's a club sandwich and what do you call it?
Okay. One layer of a club sandwich is a BLT.
Yeah.
And so the BLT is, in fact, apparently, like, it came after the club sandwich, and some people say that it sort of came from the club sandwich.
It was born when some, like, rich person ordered the club sandwich, and it was like, I'm just going to, like, throw away this top layer and
right.
just eat
it. Or, like, you know, I can't, like, maybe some dainty lady at the country club.
Oh, yes.
Or dainty man.
Uh-huh.
Or dainty non-binary person
uh-huh.
was like, I can't fit my mouth around this sandwich. Club sandwiches are ridiculous.
I'm glad you said that because I think part of the reason I've never had a club sandwich is because I don't know how to eat it.
Right? So I think that that's where BLTs came
from.
We
sound so dumb.
People were just like, get rid of this top layer. I want to cut to the good stuff that I can actually put my mouth around.
Oh, could the new slogan of our show be cut to the good stuff?
That I can actually put my mouth around.
I guess that would make
around.
People fast forward a lot.
Yeah. Okay. Anyway, so the BLT, basically, the first mention of it is like around 1900.
Okay.
It started showing up in cookbooks and stuff. Like, okay, so this sandwich is almost certainly an American invention, although none of the ingredients, obviously, are uniquely American. I mean, mayonnaise, for one thing, is French.
Uh-huh.
Right?
I think bread was invented in America.
But the Earl of Sandwich?
I was not serious.
What are you talking about? Anyway...
I don't think bread was
also,
invented in America.
I don't know why I thought of the Earl of Sandwich.
Yeah.
He came way after bread.
Well, but to be fair, he probably wasn't American because we don't have earls, although
That's
I'm not
true.
Sure.
That's
I don't,
true.
I mean, we have people named Earl.
That's true.
Like Earl Scruggs.
Who's Earl Scruggs?
I'm not sure. I think he's a musician. It was just a name that popped to mind. Can you think of any? Can we think
we
of anyone named
Earl?
We have
a Seattle-based musician named Shelby Earl.
Okay. There you go.
Anyway, so yeah, tomatoes. Not uniquely American.
Uh-huh.
Lettuce, not uniquely American.
But tomatoes,
bacon, not uniquely American.
Are a new world product.
Yeah, but not uniquely American.
Like, right.
But anyway, so the BLT was probably, though, I'll put together in its form in the U.S., although it is, so in the U.S., it is the second most popular sandwich after the ham sandwich.
Oh, okay.
But in the UK, it's the number one sandwich.
Oh, wow. I didn't know that.
According to Wikipedia.
I'm going to ask a question that now I'm afraid we won't be able to answer, but in England, do they make it with that back bacon?
I have no idea.
Yeah, I don't know either.
I have no idea.
If you're in England, which I know some of our listeners actually are.
God, please, listeners, help us out with this episode. We do not know anything.
No, this is going really well so far.
Yeah, okay. Well, let's, hey, before we go on, can we make the BLTs and then we can talk
more? I'm excited to eat a sandwich. Yeah, I said that as if I was a robot that was recently plugged in.
It is 10:23.
I am excited to eat a sandwich.
It's 10:23 on a Thursday morning. No
Please,
better time to eat a BLT.
Do not disassemble me.
Okay. All right. This episode is brought to you by Squarespace.
And Squarespace is so easy. It makes it so easy to create a website that you can just pop to squarespace.com and kind of accidentally fall into a great website.
Whoops.
Like my website that I'm going to make, which is called accidentallyawesome.com.
Oh, man. What do you sell stuff at Accidentally Awesome?
Not at all. It's just about being the best you accidentally. So, you know, there are all kinds of YouTube videos, like, you know, makeup videos, like exercise videos about how you have to work really hard to be your best self, not at accidentallyawesome.com. And I can it's all about how to be your best self by just kind of like tripping and falling into it.
Amazing. And I bet because Squarespace makes it so easy to like show off your beautiful photographs, and things like that, that you've got like a beautiful, full color, accidentally awesome website.
That's right. And it looks great on any device. So you could be walking down the street looking at accidentallyawesome.com or any Squarespace site on your phone. It's going to render perfectly. And because you're staring at it, you're going to trip and fall directly into your best self.
Go to squarespace.com/spilled for a free trial.
And when you're ready to launch, use the offer code spilled to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or a domain.
That's squarespace.com/spilled, offer code spilled. You know, the more I think about the fact that we're eating this at 10:30 in the morning.
It feels right to me.
It feels right to me. Like, I feel like this is a great breakfast.
Maybe it's just because it involves bacon. In it, but it feels like this is in the breakfast sandwich family. I know that might be a shocking assertion to some people.
You know, people add, of course, all kinds of things to BLTs, like avocado, a blat. Or turkey, or you could probably add a fried egg.
If you add turkey, that makes it like a
club, half a club.
Half a club.
The other half a club.
Okay. Let's take some bites.
Oh.
Mmm. Mmm.
Oh. Oh. Okay. I bit from the... Matthew, will you talk about how we arranged the bacon?
Okay. So, Molly, well, let's go through the ingredients.
But I would just... Hold on. I need to eat this for a minute.
Okay.
Can we just pause the show or something?
Mmm.
I don't want to stop. Oh, God.
We're going to definitely make another one of these.
It's so good. Mm-hmm. Oh. Oh, man. Yeah. Which side are you putting down against your tongue?
The bacon side.
Me too.
Yep. Friend of the show, Dan Pashman, would be so proud of you for asking that.
Mm. My God. I'm having a real time. Oh.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Good tomato pick.
Thank you. I think these might be like Paul Robeson or something.
Oh, wow. Is that the name of a tomato?
I think it is.
Okay. I feel like I like that tomato name as long as it was named by a person of color.
Mm-hmm. Right?
Otherwise, I have a problem with it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, where do we even begin? I have one more bite, so I'm not going to begin yet.
Okay, listen.
Mm-hmm.
Let me start talking about the smoothie shop.
Okay, yeah, this just in, BLTs are good.
Oh my God, I need a bath. I think that's how it should be, right?
Yep. Did I give you a napkin?
No.
I think I got myself two napkins.
It's okay, I've got jeans. It's cool. I licked my fingers, and now I'm wiping my own saliva all over my pants.
Cool.
Not the first time.
And certainly not the last.
Okay, so here's the
deal.
That's
called Wikipediaing on your pants.
So, guys, I know we've been doing this show for almost 9 years now.
Almost 9 years, yeah.
And I don't think I've ever talked about this, which is shocking because I think I've talked about everything.
I know. I think
on this show.
Yeah, I mean, if I tried to make a list of just things I've learned about your life from the show,
right?
I know more about you like from the show than from being your friend.
Well, as we've established, our friendship mostly exists
on mic.
On mic. We're so awkward off mic.
I know.
It's really hard. Anyway, but okay, so here's the deal. When I was, I think it was maybe my junior or senior year of high school, there was a smoothie shop that was in a strip shopping center just off May Avenue. It was called Celestial Smoothies, and it was owned by this attractive man who...
His name was Jonathan Smoothie.
His name was Tony.
Oh, Tony Smoothie.
And he was prematurely gray. I think that he was probably in his late 30s, maybe 40.
I'm going to coin a term
silver
here.
Fox.
Oh, that's what I was going to say.
Now, anyway, but I think he might be the... I think this might be the first instance of my ever looking at a man who seemed old to me or older and thinking he was really handsome.
Nice.
Because up to this point, you know, like I found 16-year-old boys attractive. Mm-hmm. Anyway, so Tony was a major deadhead, big time deadhead. Anyway, and I have to say that like he was really ahead of his time in opening Celestial Smoothies in this strip shopping center.
Oh, and so it was like smoothie
madness. This was pre-Jamba Juice, pre all that stuff. Anyway, Celestial Smoothies did not live long, but it was really good while it was there, and I had a summer job there.
Okay. And, so you know a lot about making... We haven't done a smoothie episode, have we? Did we?
I don't think so.
I don't think so, because I don't own a blender.
I have to say that also in retrospect, Celestial Smoothies was so awesome because they didn't add, you know how it's very hard to find a smoothie out in the world that doesn't have, frozen yogurt added to it, or, vanilla yogurt, or something that sweetens it more than the fruit?
That, and also protein powder is hard to avoid.
Yes. He was just using, frozen fruit and, actual yogurt.
Yep. We need to do a smoothie episode.
Anyway, okay. So anyway,
I still don't know why you're talking about the smoothie shop.
The one non-smoothie thing that he sold in the shop was I guess it was two different kinds of sandwiches. One that was a turkey sandwich and one that was a vegetarian sandwich. And so one of my jobs there was to make the sandwiches.
Okay.
And there was this back room where sandwich prep happened. And there was this big poster up above the cutting board.
Sure.
And it was a poster. It was a big picture of a sandwich that showed the quote unquote proper order of sandwich ingredients, according to, I don't know, some big food conglomerate somewhere. God. Anyway, Tony took me over to this poster and was like,
did he have an accent? I want him to have an accent, please.
No, he did not have an accent. He basically...
I will tell you about life and sandwiches.
No, he was just an American dude, but he was really cool and really handsome.
Hey, man, I'm going to tell you about life and sandwiches.
Almost. Anyway, the poster didn't explain why things were done in a certain way, and Tony explained that to me.
Oh,
Tony
okay.
was like, okay, so if there's a tomato, and if there's a tomato, there needs to be lettuce between the tomato and the bread.
To protect a protective layer.
Yes.
Like a Gore-Tex.
Or there needs to be, cheese could be a protective layer.
Okay.
In theory, a solid layer of sandwich meat could be a protective layer. But that
of these things can act as sandwich Gore-Tex.
Yes. But that there was an order to things. So if, for instance, I sort of internalized this. Oh,
right.
And I came to understand, too, that, there was a reason. This was the first time I ever encountered the thought of, that the order of things you put in a sandwich would dictate the order in which they encounter your tongue. And what, do you put, if you're putting mayo on one piece of bread and mustard on the other, do you put the mustard on the top piece or does the mayo go on the top piece?
As you're speaking, I'm rotating an invisible sandwich in my
hands. See, I'm thinking, I don't actually remember what the poster said about this, but I'm thinking that mayo should go on the top piece because when you eat, the top piece, the bottom layer of the top piece is going to encounter your tongue, I think, before the inside of the bottom piece.
Maybe.
As it slides around and stuff?
I don't know about that. I mean, you're trying to explain this to me without standing in front of the diagram.
Okay.
This diagram like an exploded layers of sandwich?
Totally.
Like it's something you'd see in modernist cuisine?
Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly. It was big, too. I mean, this was like, you know, 16 by 24 or something. This was a big poster.
And did you get one for yourself and like put it above your bed?
I wish. It was hot. Anyway. So, Matthew, when it came time for us to discuss just a second ago
how
we were going to assemble our BLT.
Oh, the flashback is over. We're back to the present.
I thought of Tony and like the proper ordering of sandwich ingredients as I learned from Tony, which as I also explained, I've sort of forgotten. But anyway, here's what Matthew and I decided, listener.
I want to take someone aside and teach them the ways of sandwiches.
You want to strip off their sandwich Gore-Tex and get right to the meat of it.
Well, I mean, you said it.
Anyway, you know what I want to do.
Uh-huh.
Anyway, okay, so what we decided was that we lightly toasted the bread because you don't want it to be too toasted or it's like really abrasive on the old palate.
Yes.
Okay.
I think we got into this on the toast episode.
Okay.
Long, long ago.
So anyway, we had two pieces of bread. You did light mayo on both of them.
I definitely like, as you know, I'm a little scared of mayo. Mm-hmm. Like I don't want like a thickness of mayo that sort of like can encounter my tongue in like a glob.
Yeah.
But definitely the light layer of mayo for moist tanginess.
And then the way I...
Sorry to everyone that just got upset because I used the word, the M word.
The way that I envisioned it going from top to bottom was, you know, bread with mayo on it.
Yep.
Bacon in a thin, even layer.
Yep.
So what we did was we cut two strips of bacon in half and then like laid the four halves down to make like a perfect tile of bacon.
This episode should come with a diagram.
It should.
It's not going to.
Do you remember when we did our like raclette episode or whatever the hell that was?
Uh-huh.
We asked listeners to send in like a diagram of the raclette maker that I used with my boyfriend when I was like 21.
It must have been the fondue episode because I don't think we actually did a raclette episode, but
maybe
we should.
It was the fondue episode. Anyway, okay. So basically, top to bottom, bacon, tomato,
yep,
sliced quarter of an inch thick, and then lettuce, one sheet of iceberg lettuce, maybe like torn to properly fit the sandwich,
mm-hmm.
Then mayo again, and then bread. So I envisioned, actually, when I would pick up and eat this, I envisioned that the bacon would be on top and the lettuce on the bottom. However, when you and I both ate this, we both put the bacon closest to our tongue.
Yeah, like you picked up the sandwich and kind of flipped it.
Yeah. I want to try again and see what I think about the having the lettuce closest to
my
mouth.
We have to eat another one?
Yeah. But basically, the whole idea was we were sort of encasing the tomato between these waterproof layers. One, the bacon, and one, the lettuce.
I feel like we might be sandwich artists.
We might. Anyway.
I wonder if there's anywhere we could get a job with that sort of title.
Is it Subway?
Yes.
Is that, okay. Anyway, so...
I was very happy with how the sandwich turned out.
Me too. I feel like all of our reasoning was correct.
Was sound.
So basically, yeah. So one of the pieces of bacon that we put in was thick cut, and one was regular supermarket bacon.
And so could you read the thing you wrote down?
Oh, yeah. So I learned on Wikipedia that Chef Ed Lee, who is in, Louisville, Kentucky?
That sounds right. He's author of Smoke and Pickles, and I think another cookbook.
I've eaten in one of his restaurants.
Great chef.
Yeah, he's incredible. Anyway, so, you know, a lot of food people, like you and me, Matthew, would say that you need best quality ingredients in a BLT, right? Because of the simplicity of it. Like, mm-hmm. you can't, like, put no, like, mealy winter tomato in there.
I would agree with that part.
I would, too. But anyway, Ed Lee, let's talk about bacon for a second.
Yeah.
Ed Lee says, quote, "Your general supermarket bacon is not going to cut the mustard." Okay, now, number one, how do we feel about his use of the cutting the mustard idiom?
You think that was like a sandwich pun?
I think he was trying, but it doesn't work for me. It's like a mixed metaphor.
Yeah, it doesn't cut the mayo
is what I think he meant. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
But anyway, do we agree, based on our sample size of one, we did, so half of what we ate was with supermarket bacon, half was with thick cut.
Yep. So my hypothesis was that that I would not like the thick cut bacon as much because I was afraid it was going to like pull out, not bite cleanly and like pull out of the sandwich.
No, it didn't.
It didn't. It was great.
It was
great. I think I liked that side better.
Mm-hmm.
However, I think the main reason I liked it better was just that there was a higher ratio of bacon.
Yes.
And if we had like doubled up the thin slice supermarket bacon on that side of the sandwich, I probably would have liked that just as well.
Can we try that?
Let's try it.
Okay. Okay, wait, let's move on. Let's talk about the lettuce.
Okay.
So you asked me when we were planning this episode, like, what kind of lettuce should you buy? And I instinctively was like, iceberg.
Yeah, and because, I was like, okay, I know what that is.
Because I feel like you don't want a lettuce that's going to get, like,
also,
slippery.
Also, you have, like, your great-great-grandmother died on the Titanic, and, like, so you just, like, the word iceberg just comes out sometimes, like, when you're in a fugue state.
You know, I do actually have great-greats who died on the Lusitania.
Oh, wow.
Right?
That wasn't an iceberg, right?
No, that wasn't an iceberg. That was, like, torpedoed or something. It was, what, World War II?
Which was also a kind of sandwich.
World War I?
Yes.
But anyway, it was my great-great-grandparents. Rest in peace.
Rough stuff.
You know, war is to be avoided.
Yeah.
I'm just going to leave that here.
You know what I say? What is it even good for?
Make love, not war.
Yeah.
Okay. Anyway, so yeah, I think iceberg lettuce is the way to go. You want a lettuce that's crunchy, that is not going to get slippery and slimy, and that also, I think, like, doesn't bring a tremendous amount of flavor. Like, I don't want arugula.
No, that sounds pretty good.
But it's like a different thing.
Yeah. Some people, including wife of the show Lori, argue that the lettuce is not necessary, and like a bacon and tomato sandwich might be what you're really after. I don't think I agree.
Ed Levine, founder of Serious Eats, he has argued that the BLT does not require lettuce, as it is, quote, superfluous.
I was surprised. So first, what do you think?
Well, so another, like, a food and wine writer, John Bonet, who I believe is at MSNBC now.
He used to live here in Seattle a long time ago. Like, I was surprised when I looked at the BLT Wikipedia page, like I know all these people.
Isn't that weird? It's almost like we've been, like, in this industry for a while.
Yeah, we've been steeped too long, I think.
Anyway, John Bonet described this as shocking.
Mm-hmm.
Do you find it shocking? Do you agree?
I think shocking is a strong word when applied to lettuce.
Yeah.
Like, okay, I found out that
shocking,
lettuce.
Oh, sorry, I was about to get political again.
Okay, no. Let's
keep
this
a comedy show.
If I learned and was convinced that a head of lettuce had a brain inside and was sentient,
shocking.
That would be shocking.
Yes.
If I hear that someone does or does not like lettuce on their sandwich, that doesn't quite rise to the level of shocking for me.
Here's the thing. Okay, I get it. I think maybe, Ed Levine, I think you might be right. I think that a BLT does not need lettuce. I don't think anything needs lettuce.
Oh, wait, now I'm shocked.
But I like a BLT with lettuce because, in particular, I love the, like, watery crunch of iceberg.
Yeah, I do too. I use iceberg lettuce pretty often. I like it on tacos very much.
Yeah. I like the flavor of iceberg.
Yeah. I I'm still going to eat the sandwich if you take the lettuce off, but I want the lettuce on there.
I do too. Okay, hold on. So a lot of these food people also feel that you should use a beefsteak tomato.
I don't know if I know really what a beefsteak tomato is.
A beefsteak tomato is what I think of as, like, the classic, like, American summer tomato. It's pretty big.
Oh, like a Jersey tomato.
A Jersey tomato, exactly. A Jersey tomato.
We got a little heat from a listener who felt that we were not being fair to New Jersey in a recent episode in which we were not being fair to New Jersey.
Oh, yeah. I mean, New Jersey is actually, like, a state that has a lot of good stuff going for it.
It sounds like you are under duress.
No, I actually believe it. So my ex-husband is from New Jersey. Uh-huh. I've spent a fair amount of time there, and I've never felt anything less than good about it. I mean, killer pizza there.
Yeah.
It's beautiful. Also, Jersey corn and tomatoes cannot be beat.
That's why they call it the BLT state. The BLTC state, because you put a little corn in there, too.
Oh. They do?
No.
Oh, okay.
Not that I know of.
Anyway, a beefsteak tomato I think of as, like, the classic, like, big American tomato.
Okay, that's what came to mind.
Yeah, it's, like, bright red. It, compared to some of the heirlooms, it has fewer seeds. It's got, like, a firmer flesh.
Okay, I think I want, like, a more, I don't care whether or not my tomato has seeds. And because they don't really register.
Also, the seeds, like the jelly around the seeds is part of where the flavor comes in.
Yeah, I don't want my BLT tomato to bite back, really. I want it to be like a soft, melting texture.
Well, so the tomato... okay, so we're recording this episode.
We're recording this episode? I thought this was private.
Oh, God, Matthew. We're recording this episode on July 26th.
Who are you, Michael Cohen?
In Seattle. And I, even though it's been a really hot summer here, when I went to the farmer's market yesterday to get tomatoes for our BLTs, I went to a farmer's market that was a pretty good size. Mm-hmm. There was only one stand that had tomatoes yet.
I feel like it's still really early here. But by the time you hear this episode...
it's going to be peak season.
It will be time.
So I could not find any beefsteak tomatoes yesterday. Instead, I bought like a beautiful heirloom. I think one is a type called Paul Robeson. And I think another of the ones that I bought might be a Cherokee Purple. I can't really tell. But these are like soft...
I feel the same way about both of those names.
I know. Why do we name things such... why do we name things like being about like the color of skin and stuff?
Wow. Let's move on.
Is there a way to address this?
Well,
as a white person and do this right.
Well, I mean, I think to go back to what I said earlier, like, I think it's okay for it. It's fine and good for it to be a Cherokee tomato if it was named by a member of the Cherokee Nation.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Okay. Great. Let's hope that it was.
Yes.
Okay.
I kind of doubt it.
I kind of doubt it, too, sadly. Anyway, so yeah, what we've got today are sort of those like more juicy tomatoes.
Yes.
And I did not mind, man. I mean,
it was great.
I like bathed myself in that.
Tomato bath.
Can we make another one?
Yeah, let's do it.
This episode is brought to you by Left Field Farms.
Left Field Farms is that refreshing new dairy brand founded on a left field thought. Just let the cow do its thing.
Yeah, man. These cows eat non-GMO feed. They get access to pastures with shade and plenty of water, and they get to just be cows in the grass being cows.
You know what I like to do in the summer, Molly?
What do you like to do?
I like to get myself a sleeve of cookies. Not sure why I said sleeve. I like to go out in the park and find a shady tree and sit under the tree with my sleeve
like
of cookies. Yep. And some Left Field Farms milk and dip my cookies in milk. And even, you know, with that level of pastoral relaxation, I am probably not as relaxed and well cared for as a Left Field Farms cow.
Whoa. Okay. Wow.
But I'm working on it.
Never stop, Matthew. Never give up. Anyway, you can find Left Field Farms in your dairy aisle. They make delicious milk and coffee creamer.
Wonderful things come out of Left Field. So next time you're in the dairy aisle, take a fresh look and choose Left Field Farms. Okay, we're back with sandwich number two.
Yeah, I'm back too.
That's sandwich number two speaking.
Okay, wait, hold on. So wait, which end is the thicker bacon?
Oh, this is all the thinner bacon. I just double layered it.
Mm. Okay, this one is on brioche, mm-hmm. which is a little...
the bread's a little sweeter.
And it's a little stretchier.
Mm-hmm.
So it kind of like gets these nice little indentations mm-hmm. where my fingers are, even though yeah. it's toasted.
Hmm. Mm. I don't feel strongly that either one is better than the other, but I like
the other bread.
I think I like the other bread because it's a little less sweet. Mm-hmm. I do feel like I've confirmed for myself my hypothesis that two layers of thin bacon is as good as one layer of thick bacon.
I agree. Mm-hmm. Will you also talk about your mayo application?
Oh. I just realized, like, the problem is still there.
Oh, no.
I didn't clean it up.
Wait, so I was looking at Matthew's bookshelf while mm-hmm. he was making a sandwich.
And I pulled a dollop of mayo out of the jar on a knife, and part of it slopped off and plopped onto the stove.
Yeah, but then you started freaking out about something else, too. What was that?
That, like, when I spread the mayo, a little of it went over the edge of the bread and made, like, some nubs along the side of the bread that I had to shear off because I don't want to see that sort of thing. I'm not an adult.
I'm proud of you for... you know, for as like condiment phobic as you are, I'm proud of you for still applying a nice, even thin layer of mayo.
I was taught by the best.
Mm-hmm. Who's that?
You.
Oh, me. Oh, I'm the best. Oh.
You took me over to a poster. Mm-hmm. It wasn't a sandwich poster. It was just a motivational poster.
Like that said, Molly's the best. Listen to her.
That's right. They had a picture of you like standing next to a tree.
Uh-huh.
And it just said, grow. I was like, yeah, okay.
That's a version of the other, the original poster of me, which mm-hmm. was me standing next to a flower, and that said, bloom where you're planted.
I have had such a hard time lately finding a suitably motivational oven mitt. I bought a fucking gray oven mitt because I went to the store. I couldn't find a bloom where you're planted. I couldn't find a
life's a hoot.
I couldn't find life's a hoot. I couldn't find grow like a tree.
What happened to the one that you bought when we were in Tokyo?
That was not an oven mitt. That was a pot, like a square pot holder. That's a bear that says, why will you not go out with me?
Mm-hmm. That's so weird.
it actually says, I am a bear. Why will you not go out with me?
God, I feel like, do you think that was made for like bears?
The sandwich?
No, I mean like people who identify as bears.
I don't think so.
I don't think so either.
I think that's part of what makes it funny is that it's so... The word just isn't coming to me. Yeah. I think I just hit
peak BLT. Mm-hmm. You know what? I don't like it with that brioche. The brioche is too sweet.
It's too sweet. Like a sturdy Pullman loaf is the way to go.
Yeah.
A Pepperidge Farm toasting white if you're on the East Coast.
Ooh.
The Pepperidge Farm toasting white is the best thing that's not available in the Pacific Northwest.
I don't even know what it is.
It's just a really good quality supermarket white bread, but it's called toasting white, and B, you can't get it here, and that makes it seem so much better.
And here you bought Franz brand homestyle white. I would say just a white that is not sweet.
Not sweet.
You don't want like a honey white.
And like I feel like one notch sturdier than like a Wonder Bread, although Wonder Bread's not going to be bad.
No, it's not going to be bad at all. And I also think, I'm going to take a stand here that might be controversial for the food people.
Will it be shocking?
Probably.
Let's burn the lettuce.
I don't think that you should use like a pain au levain or like a crusty, I don't think you should use a crusty bread. This is a time to use a sandwich loaf.
Oh, I completely agree. But can you please say that word again?
Pain au levain.
Pain au levain.
Also, I don't think you need homemade mayo for this thing. I'm just going to go out on a limb and say best foods / Hellman's now and forever.
So this is sort of a conglomeration of perfectly engineered food products.
Yes.
Right?
I mean, totally is.
It's not because we're not buying the whole sandwich. The sandwich itself, I don't think, qualifies as perfectly engineered. But the bread is, and the bacon is, and the iceberg lettuce.
Yeah. Iceberg lettuce is maybe a perfectly engineered lettuce.
Mm-hmm. So you heard it here first.
We have a new perfectly engineered food product.
Except... No, this is a new category. This is a perfectly engineered food conglomeration. It's a PEFC.
Oh, wow.
This taxonomy is going to get rich and branchy. This episode was brought to you by Left Field Farms.
Left Field Farms cows eat non-GMO feed. They've got plenty of water, shade. These are happy cows who get to just do the things cows do.
And that makes for delicious milk and delicious coffee creamer and a delicious life for you.
The next time you're in the dairy aisle, take a fresh look and choose Left Field Farms. Okay, I feel like we're done with this episode.
I do too. What have we learned? BLTs are
so
very
much.
Good.
We've learned so much.
No, I think that was good. I think I went from being like a real BLT virgin to like a fumbling BLT adolescent.
Yeah. Oh, man. Just think of the fun you're going to have mm-hmm. getting good at BLTs.
Yeah. I think like I'm going to make this again. I know. Again, this is a shocking thing to say, but this is not going to be my last BLT.
Oh, good. Great. Okay.
You can find us online at spilledmilkpodcast.com and on facebook.com at facebook.com/spilledmilkpodcast. We definitely asked you to weigh in on diner slang.
Right. And something else too, and I don't remember.
Well, I mean, they all listen to the episode.
Oh, club sandwiches. How do we eat a club sandwich? Help us.
It's the only sandwich I know of that's cut into quarters, right?
Well, and it's really like that thick. It's
like cut into quarters and like piled up like in a weird Lego sort of way.
Yeah, it's heading in the direction of a Dagwood sandwich.
Yeah. It's heading this. It's a hybrid of a Dagwood sandwich and like a Lego castle set.
Okay. You can also find us on Instagram at Spilled Milk Podcast.
And on all your favorite podcasting platforms, including CastBox.
If you've got an Android phone.
Or CastBox is available for both kinds of phones.
Oh, it is?
Yeah.
Oh, okay, cool.
Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Overcast, Undercast.
Broke my arm, so I got a cast. Uh-huh.
I will sign my cast.
Yeah, sign my cast.
Sign My Cast is an app that lets you get autographs from your favorite podcasters. Ira Glass, not participating. And until next time, thank you for listening to Spilled Milk. I'm Paul Levin.
I'm Hellman's East of the Rockies.
See you next time.
Do you remember when we recorded an episode last year with me with like a ice pack in my bra?
Yeah, was that the macaroni and cheese?
Maybe. I think I might do it again today.
You are welcome to. I'm sure we've got an ice pack.
Okay.